Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the court. We have two cases today. The first case is United States versus Williams. Captain Todorov, are you prepared to argue on behalf of appellant?
Yes, sir.
And Captain Dove, are you prepared to argue on behalf of the government?
Yes, sir.
Please proceed.
Chief Judge Olson, members of the court, may it please the court. Appellant respectfully requests 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you, Your Honor. If Winkleman requires that courts of criminal appeal first determine whether they can reliably reassess a sentence, it logically follows that sometimes they cannot. The Army Court, informed by an erroneous understanding of relevant facts and law, abused its discretion by determining that it could reliably reassess appellant's sentence despite, first, changes to the gravamen of criminal conduct included within the original offenses, and second, the impact of a panel in handing down appellant's original unitary sentence. Before moving on to the changes to the gravamen of the criminal conduct and the impact of a panel sentence, I'd like to briefly discuss the dishonorable discharge. The dishonorable discharge is the clearest example we have in the Army Court's opinion of the fact that they simply got it wrong. Informed by an inappropriate version of Rule for Court-Martial 810D, Article 63, and a misunderstanding of Mitchell, the Army Court simply handed down a reassessed sentence that was not in line with the version of the law in application at the time of appellant's court-martial.
But that's distinct from the issue of whether they properly decided to engage in this exercise.
Yes, Your Honor.
So don't we need to first discuss whether, in fact, it was appropriate for the CCA to reassess the sentence?
Yes, Your Honor.
But so in that regard, if we look at the first Winkleman factor, even though the CCA set aside the charge of sodomy with a child, wasn't the maximum possible offense still life without parole?
Yes, Your Honor. Appellant doesn't contest that the first Winkleman factor does not necessarily weigh in his favor.
So then if you look at the second Winkleman factor, you argue in your brief, and I'm quoting, the real sentence to be evaluated is the one adjudged at appellant's first court-martial, which was done by court members. But wasn't the CCA actually reassessing the sentence imposed by the military judge at the rehearing?
Your Honor, it's appellant's position that Rule for Court-Martial 810, which sets the cap at the convictions which appellant received at his original court-martial, indicates that that's the sentence we should look to. If the cap was necessarily set by those members, we should then look to what the members were assessing when determining that sentence.
But wouldn't that be encapsulated in the second court-martial's sentence determination? Did they also abound by that because it's a rehearing? So even if we were to look at the second court-martial, it is taken into account that first one, correct?
It has, Your Honor, but we can't know what weight the panel or the military judge afforded to, in the first court-martial, the rape conviction, or in the second court-martial, the child sodomy conviction.
So what precedent are you citing, or what provision are you citing that supports your position?
Your Honor, we're looking to merely a logical interpretation of Rule for Court-Martial 810. However, in the event that this Court rules that the second court-martial, as decided by the military judge, is appropriate to look to, we can't know what weight had been accorded to the child sex offense. Child sex offenses are simply different in kind than what was assessed at appellant's original court-martial.
So in that regard, how does this Court weigh the totality of the circumstances? Let's say this Court were to agree with your assessment of Winkleman factor number 3. Let's say for the sake of argument, we felt differently in regard to 2 and 4. How do we weigh the totality of the circumstances? Well, how do we weight each individual Winkleman factor?
Your Honor, Winkleman indicates that, to your point, Your Honor, it truly is a totality of the circumstances analysis, and what we're looking to in is whether the Court of Criminal Appeals can reliably reassess what happened.
So what here should cause this Court to conclude that they couldn't reliably reassess this sentence, particularly in regard to the fact that this was military judge, and we're talking about sex assault, which tragically CCA in this court and the military judges at the trial level see all the time.
Your Honor, we're looking at fundamentally different courts martial between what appellant was originally taken to trial over and what he now stands convicted of. So I'd like to break that down into two parts, the first being why we could not reliably reassess, and the second being how the Army Court did not reliably reassess. So the first court martial, why the gravamen of the offense should weigh most heavily in appellant's favor is because the original court martial is a two-victim case wherein the government, the way the charges broke down were simply by virtue of geographic location. The first court martial concerns a continuous course of sexual abuse, and one of the two victims in the first court martial testifies to being sexually assaulted 800 to 1,000 times in almost a continuous course of conduct involving an incident with a cervical cancer surgery. That impact on the sentencing body can't be understated. The second part of that, as to how we know the Army Court did not reliably reassess.
But before you get to there, you said that the first court-martial involved two victims. How are you characterizing the second court-martial?
Two different victims, Your Honor. One in common, but one new victim.
Correct, but the first court-martial had two different victims, two different wives.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, you lost me. Okay, go ahead.
My apologies, Your Honor.
Okay.
How we know the Army Corps didn't correctly reassess, I would first like to turn to the circumstances surrounding TW and then move on to the dismissed instances of forcible sodomy. So the Army Court on Joint Appendix page 9 references the gravamen of the criminal conduct in the original trial centering around SW, charges and specifications that spanned a variety of dates and locations, compared to one specification involving TW on one date and in one location. That's simply factually incorrect based on the record of trial, wherein that specification captures a year and a half and 800 to 1,000 instances of rape. Second, there is absolutely no mention in the Army Court's reassessment of appellant's trial as to the dismissed instances of sodomy. So the Army Court, again, on Joint Appendix page 9, references the rape charge that was set aside by this court, but does not reference in any way the fact that three out of the four convictions, specifications for forcible sodomy, have been reduced from diverse occasions to single instances. This appellant argues that this court should take a qualitative approach in looking at the charges. So what the Army Court has done is has simply counted the number of specifications and done little more in providing an analysis for this court to consider, whereas Winkleman argues for a reasoned analysis. A qualitative analysis would look towards what the criminal conduct underlying the criminal convictions contains, and that's supported by the full text of the third Winkleman factor, wherein the third Winkleman factor goes into both the gravamen of the criminal conduct, but also whether significant or aggravating circumstances addressed at the original court-martial remain relevant to the remaining offenses. The government...
Counsel, I guess one of the places you're losing me is, why is anything that happened prior to the military judge's second sentencing of 35 years relevant to what the CCA did when they reassessed? Like, haven't, up to that point, like, there's still the windfall issue with the child sodomy charge, but, like, up to that point, hasn't everything been fixed but for that issue with you know, that one specification? Isn't everything kosher at that point?
Your Honor, we would look to the original court-martial based on both Rule for Court-Martial 810 and Article 63. The cap...
But why? It seems like you're suggesting that we should just completely disregard that 35-year sentence. But that 35-year sentence wasn't unlawful. You're not arguing that it was improperly... it couldn't be supported, right? Like, why is that not our starting point?
Your Honor, it's not that it was unlawful at the time. It is unlawful now. With the Army Court setting aside the child sodomy conviction, the cap is then set by appellant's original court-martial, which was decided by members.
And we haven't exceeded that cap, right? I mean, other than the issue with the dishonorable discharge. But putting that aside, we haven't exceeded that cap, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
So what's the problem?
Winkleman requires the courts of criminal appeal to reassess based on the original sentence. The original sentence was set by those members in a unitary sentence.
But isn't that sentence been wiped out?
Appellant's position is that it has not, sir. But
I mean, it still operates to put a cap on what he can be eventually sentenced to. But from a sentencing perspective, hasn't all that been wiped out? And we have a new sentence from a military judge who I don't think you're arguing made any particular mistakes. He didn't violate the law. He didn't impose an unlawful sentence. So why isn't that our starting point for deciding what the CCA could and could not do when they reassess that sentence?
Your Honor, because Winkleman refers to the gravamen of the criminal conduct included within the original offenses. The original offenses for which appellant was brought to court includes both the charges against SW and the charges against TW.
But was Winkleman dealing with a situation like this where there was the rehearing in terms of the reference to the original?
No, Your Honor. This is
so a isn't there a mis – isn't that language somewhat misleading then? When here we've got the original trial and then we've got the rehearing and then going to the CCA, there wasn't that same fact pattern in Winkleman.
It could be misleading, Your Honor. However, we're dealing in a world of unitary sentencing as opposed to segmented sentencing. We can't know what weight was afforded to what individual specification. And because of that uncertainty is what in and of itself should have required the Court of Criminal Appeals to remand for a resentencing hearing. Pending any further questions from this court.
Questions from the bench? Thank you, counsel. Kevin Dunn.
Chief Judge Olson, members of the court, may it please the court, my name is Captain Dominique Dove, and I, along with my co-counsel, Major Kaylin Schluter, represent the United States. The Army Court did not abuse its discretion when reassessing the appellant's sentence pursuant to this court's guidance in U.S. v. Winkleman, nor was the reassessed sentence arbitrary. The Army Court acts with broad discretion when reassessing sentences. In summarizing Winkleman's predecessor, U.S. v. Sales, this court held that if a criminal court can determine a sentence's certain severity, then a sentence of that severity or less will be absence of prejudicial error. This court reviews lower court's reassessment for abuse of discretion and will only disturb that assessment in order to prevent obvious miscarriages of justice. The lower courts have a wide range of choices, and their choices should not be reversed as long as that decision remains in that range. The Army Court's reassessed sentence was not arbitrary. The Army Court's decision to reassess appellant's sentence to 19 years confinement, reduction to E1, and total forfeitures was well within its broad discretion, as afforded by Sales and Winkleman.
In terms of
go ahead.
In terms of Winkleman and the third factor, We've got a situation where we're supposed to look at the nature of the remaining offenses and whether they capture the gravamen of the criminal conduct in the original offenses. The charge of sodomy on a child under age 12 is a really serious offense. And furthermore, the trial counsel asked for a greater sentence for that offense rather than the other offenses that were there. Why shouldn't that cause this court to conclude that in regard to Winkleman factor number 3, that appellant's counsel has the proper argument there?
Yes, Your Honor. When looking at factor number 3, it's the gravamen of the offenses. And Black's Law definition defines gravamen as a substantial point or essence of a claim. The gravamen of the offenses for both court martials is that the appellant was convicted of repeated non-consensual sexual offenses against intimate partners or familial relationships. The gravamen of the offenses were the same in both the first court martial and the second.
What about the point made by appellant's counsel that there's this distinction between the qualitative aspect and the quantitative aspect, that the government is looking at this and saying you had this one child with one instance, and then you have the adult with multiple instances. And defense counsel's point is, that's really mistaken, as reflected by the trial counsel's sentencing argument, saying you ought to give a greater punishment for this one offense of the sodomy of a child under age 12 rather than all these other offenses against the adult.
Your Honor, it is the government's position that the Army Court acted within their discretion. The Army Court did an Article 66 review on the rehearing, in which they were required to look at the legal and factual sufficiency of the case. It is the government's position that the Army Court started from zero, not from the 20 years. The 20 years in the original court-martial is only relevant, according to U.S. v. Sales, to make the cap on what the Army Court was allowed to judge. So therefore, they were in their broad discretion to start from ground zero, look at the egregious acts of the appellant, and then make an assessment on that sentence, which was the 19 years.
Well, is that true? I mean, appellant's counsel rightly points out that our case law uses the word original, and we have the original charges are different, right? We have a different victim with different kinds of, and as he points out, a very different fact pattern than what we end up with in the second court martial. So, how do you respond to that?
Your Honor, it is the government's position that it is the type of offense, and that is the definition for gravamen, the type of offense. And in this, both court-martials, the types of offenses were non-consensual sexual contact with intimate partners or familial relationships.
So does the government then agree with the appellant that we should look at the offenses in the original court-martial, or do we focus on the second court-martial?
Your Honor, our main focus is on the second court-martial, but for the gravamen of the offenses, we would look to that factor. This court also held in U.S.
Because you didn't actually answer that question. So we look to that factor, but we apply the factor to which court-martial? The original court-martial? I think that's what Judge Hardy's asking. Are we applying that to the original court-martial, or are we applying it to court-martial number 2?
We're looking at the gravamen of the offenses for both court-martials, Your Honor.
Okay.
And this court held in U.S. v. Winkleman that the factors are illustrative. These are not a calculation. This is not a checklist. So because we may have gotten one in our favor, it doesn't necessarily mean, because appellant may have one factor in their favor, it does not necessarily mean that the Army Court abused its broad discretion. And this court also held these factors are illustrative, not dispositive, and these are factors that will assist the Army Court. The Army Court can also look at other factors, and that is completely within their discretion.
Did they articulate additional reasons in their opinion?
Your Honor, they did not, but also in this court's opinion in U.S. v. Winkleman, this court stated that is not a requirement.
So Understandably, the concept is the totality of the circumstances, and the factors were intended to be illustrative of the types of things that should be considered. But if the CCA does not articulate additional points, does this court have the authority to then add in our own thoughts about why it was appropriate or not appropriate for the CCA to engage in the sentence reassessment?
Your Honor, looking at this court's opinion in U.S. v. Winkleman, this court stated that it is not a requirement for the Army Court to describe what factors they looked at. However, in this case, the Army Court did properly analyze the four Winkleman factors. So the first, the Army Court illustrated on Joint Appendix pages 2 through 9, there is no dramatic change in the landscape and exposure. Appellant has conceded this point, so that factor does weigh in favor of reassessment. The next factor is whether the appellant was convicted by a panel or a judge. Here we're looking at the rehearing in which the appellant was sentenced by a judge. That factor also weighs in favor of reassessment. We've already spoken to the third factor, but I do want to go a little bit into the gravamen of the criminal conduct. It is the government's position that the gravamen of the criminal conduct is repeated non-consensual sexual offenses against intimate or familial relationships. And this Army Corps properly concluded that that was the gravamen of the offenses. And when you look at the fourth factor, the Army Court is familiar with the offense of sodomy. Even though sodomy is not in...
Go ahead, finish your sentence.
Even though sodomy is no longer listed as a crime after 2016 in the manual of court martials, the elements of sodomy and the elements of rape are almost identical.
But Captain Dove, did not the CCA look at the specification that had been, the charge and specification that had been dismissed? They discussed the fact that they were familiar with rape, not that their familiarity with forcible sodomy. So how are they complying with factor four in that regard?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at the previous manual court martials, 2012, 2016, and 2019, the offenses of sodomy and rape are practically identical. The only difference is the penetrative act, whether it's in the vagina or the anus. So therefore, they are familiar with the offense of rape and sodomy. And the Army Court noted that their close review of the record, the trial, and their experience, in conjunction with the knowledge that the appellant was sentenced to 20 years of confinement, allows them to reassess and affirm the sentence. As it pertains to the discharge error, that was a minor mistake due to the complex procedural history of this case. In the initial court martial, the appellant was convicted of sentenced to 20 years and a dishonorable discharge. However, the convening authority lowered that to a bad conduct discharge. This court can correct this minor error, as they did in U.S. v. Mitchell, in which this court held that discharges are completely separate and different than other punitive actions.
So, Captain Dove, you concede that the CCA misstepped when it imposed that discharge?
Yes, Your Honor.
So then the CCA also seemed to be seeking to place the sentence in a broader context when it engaged in the sentence reassessment, saying, let's look at the first trial, let's look at the rehearing. Is that the appropriate standard for them to use?
Your Honor, it's the government's position that the Army Court only looked at the first trial so that they could differentiate what happened because of the complex procedural history.
So it's not your reading of the CCA opinion that they were looking at this issue from the original trial when determining the proper sentence?
That is correct, Your Honor. is the government's position that they only looked at the rehearing, and they assessed the sentence severity, the entire record of trial, appellant's character, and the seriousness of the offenses. The appellant still remains convicted of 4 charges of sodomy and 5 assault. In the landscape of the penalty landscape, the appellant still would have been convicted to life without parole. Therefore, 19 years, the bad conduct discharge, forfeiture, and reduction of E1 is...
Can I just stop you for a second? I've now flipped to the CCA opinion on page 5, and the CCA said, we also have the certainty of knowing from the record what appellant was sentenced to in his first trial, which did not include a conviction for the child sodomy offense. A comparison of appellant's conviction in his first trial and his rehearing provides some context for our current sentence reassessment, and then says that his first trial, he was sentenced to this and so forth. So your reading of that is they were not considering the sentence in that first trial?
They were only considering the sentence, Your Honor, in accordance with the United States v. Sales, to know the maximum penalty that they were allowed to assess.
Let's say for the sake of argument, this court were to read that CCA language differently. We've also got a situation where there was a misstep in regard to the discharge that was applied. What would be wrong for this court to send this back to the CCA if, assuming for a moment that we determined that they did not abuse their discretion to begin with in deciding that they could reassess, and saying, we just want to make sure that you were applying the appropriate standards at the time that you reassessed sentence. What would be wrong for this court to do that?
Your Honor, it is the government's position that the Army Court did not err nor abuse its discretion, so it would be improper to send it back to the Army Court. However, if this court disagrees with our position, we would ask that it only be sent back to the Army Court to reassess with the proper analysis of the bad conduct discharge versus the dishonorable discharge. As it pertains to the characterization of the punitive discharge, this honorable court should exercise its authority as it did in United States v. Mitchell. Accordingly, this honorable court should affirm only so much as the Army's court decision that extends to the findings and sentences of a bad conduct discharge, 19 years confinement, reduction to E1, and total forfeitures. Subject to your questions.
Any questions from the bench? Thank you, Captain Doe.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Captain Doe, you had reserved 5 minutes.
Your Honor, appellant would like to briefly touch on 3 points. First, the government counsel referenced absent prejudicial language, that language from Winkleman. The Winkleman analysis is directing the courts of criminal appeal to consider whether they can reliably reassess a sentence with certainty absent prejudicial error. Appellant would just like to highlight the magnitude of prejudicial error that has been uncovered over the course of the appellate process, which highlights the fact that it's difficult to be certain as to what sentence would have been reassessed absent the error uncovered. Second and third, I'd like to touch on the impact of the first court-martial versus the second court-martial. Appellant maintains the position that the original offenses, as directed by the panel sentencing at Fort Bragg, should direct this court's analysis, that the only the original offenses for which appellant was convicted of stand in this case. That, along with Rule for Court-Martial 810, indicates where this court should direct its attention. The Army Court of Criminal Appeals considered the rape conviction. They expressly say, finally, to account for the one rape conviction when they're going through their Winkleman analysis. The government considers the rape conviction in its analysis. And the government's argument that this court should contemplate including both courts-martial or both sentencing hearings within its analysis introduces a degree of uncertainty, a degree of an unwieldy opinion to introduce that degree of uncertainty. Uncertainty, to begin with, is the reason why we would reassess at a rehearing. Lastly, should this court consider looking to the second court-martial, this court should still find in favor of appellant. We cannot know what weight the military judge afforded to the child sex offense. And to this court's point, that's simply different in kind than what appellant faced at his first court-martial. The Army Court did a cursory analysis and failed to account for the monumental changes over the course of appellant's appeals process in determining a proper sentence, and that is what in and of itself should direct this court towards finding the Army Court abused its discretion, and appellant respectfully requests this case be remanded for resentencing hearing.
Counsel, if we send it back for resentencing, would the cap be 19 years or 20 years?
Your Honor, the cap would be the 20 years that was set by appellant's original court-martial.
Counsel, can you provide, because I don't find one in our case law, a succinct definition of what the gravamen of a court-martial is, or how it's defined, or what we should look at? Without going with a lengthy description of what the facts were in this case, can you provide the court with a succinct definition of what encapsulates the gravamen of a court-martial?
Your Honor, I would turn to Black's, the substantial essence of a claim or dispute. But in layman's terms, it would appear to be, why are we in court in the first place?
Would you agree that in the court-martial, it was for the sexual assault of two women? Is that if you had to explain to someone what the gravamen of the first court-martial was about, is that what it was about, the repeated sexual assaults of two women?
Your Honor, I think the second statement you made is slightly different than the first. I think it's the repeated nature of the criminal conduct that appellant was convicted of. Within that, the two victims appear to have somewhat the convictions that came out of the first court-martial, one of which includes 800 to 1,000, the other one.
Okay, well, we're going to. So if you think my second statement was maybe more accurate, could you give a similar statement for what the second court-martial was and then what the CCA was dealing with in their final sentence reassessment?
Your Honor, the second court-martial, the government clearly focused on the nature of the.
So give me a one-sentence encapsulation of what that court-martial was about.
Child sodomy.
And then the final reassessment, the one that's before us now, the CCA's final reassessment, what were they reassessing? What was the gravamen of the offenses they were reassessing at the end?
Your Honor, it's somewhat unclear from the CCA's opinion.
Additional questions? Seeing none, thank you, Kevin Totter.
Thank you for this court's time.
The case is now submitted. The court thanks counsel for both sides, and the court will stand in recess until 10:15.
Court stands in recess until 10:15.